You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Frank Isola, Harry Lyles Jr., Sarah Spain, Bill Plaschke. I have a theory. If you see someone eating wings, you're not going to look away. It's kind of mesmerizing to watch somebody happily eat wings. That's my theory. And Mets Atlanta playoff atmosphere. Let's go.
I love wings. But the drumstick, just the drumstick, though.
Mets taking game one of this five-game series with Atlanta. Playoff style, playoff atmosphere in New York. 9 of 10 now for the first-place Mets. It puts them up 4.5 games, which means no matter how the next 4 games go with Atlanta, they'll leave the series in first place. Both of these teams certainly look locked in for the playoffs, but what you saw from the Mets last night, what you saw from the defending champs, we got New York and Atlanta in the show. Let's start there. New York, you won. Frank Isola, around the horn to you. Was there one thing that you took away last night?
Big night in Flushing. What I loved about it was in the 8th inning, the heart of the lineup is coming up, or as baseball nerds like Bill like to say, high leverage situations. And what does Buck Showalter do? He brings in his closer, who hadn't pitched in 5 days, to get 6 outs. Why? Because instead of being 2.5 up, you go to 4.5 up. I thought that was a great job by Buck Showalter, kind of sending a message to everyone in that clubhouse how important this series is with 4 games left.
So that was the New York perspective. If I can go to the Atlanta perspective now, to Harry Lyles Jr., and how last night played out, and now could this be a make-or-break series in some way in the division race for Atlanta?
It kind of feels like it. I mean, the Mets, Braves fans talk about the Mets have had a lot of luck go this way their season, which is true to a degree, but you also don't go 67-38 by being lucky. So I will give the Mets the credit for that, because they are really a great baseball team and somebody that the Braves should fear. And that's also why I think in this particular series, the Braves cannot, you know, go worse than par in this series, just because you are still digging yourself out of this hole. I think for the bright side on the Braves, Ronald Acuna's home run last night was great, his first since July 8th. They still are the best team, or at least record-wise, in baseball since June 1st at 40-16. Ozzie Albies is ramping up. Frank, I know you love that phrase. He's ramping up his baseball activities. Coming up here, he's going to be coming back. And the last 7 games against the Mets are going to be in Atlanta. So as long as you don't mess this 5-game series up, you're going to have time to still make this up.
But did you say they have to go par here? You mean in the remaining 4, 2-2? Because it's a 5-game series. Ain't no par in 5.
At least.
Sarah Spain,
yes.
How about you?
Yeah, going off what they both said, I mean, to Frank's point, they're managing it like a playoff game because the ramifications of who wins this division could be massive. Likelihood of getting the bye if you win is high, and if you are the number 2 in this division, you might be the number 1 wild card and potentially facing the Padres. So you are setting yourself up right now in this series for what could be ultimately an embarrassing opening round exit in that wild card matchup with a Padres team that just got way better at the trade deadline, or giving yourself a bye. And I think that's why you saw them treating this like a playoff series.
Bill Plaschke.
This is huge for the Mets. The Mets can essentially, in my mind, put away the Braves. I can't believe somebody on this show said the Mets were lucky and got lucky. Let's listen to the Braves talk about luck.
Okay, all right. Yeah, we'll let Harry get back in there.
Anyway, the Mets,
LA, Atlanta,
this weekend, this weekend, they're going to have DeGrom and Scherzer coming up this weekend. They already have a 2.09 ERA starting pitcher since July 5th. Their starting staff is lights out, and the Braves don't seem to be able to handle it. And this is when I think the Mets make the move to get on top for good and stay on top.
Lyles back in.
Yeah, no, again, I feel like the attitude of a lot of Braves fans is that there has been luck with the Mets, and I think part of that is the history that the Mets haven't had a great team the last few years, but this is one of the best teams in baseball. And if you are in Atlanta, Cobb County, the metro Atlanta area, and you are denying that, you need to wake up because that is
okay.
Also
I hear what you're saying. You're saying Atlanta fans, but you're separating yourself,
yes.
Even though it says Atlanta behind you.
Yes.
Because,
yes.
I mean, Atlanta, with the long history of being able to get it done last year, before that, I mean,
not so
Frank
much.
Frank Isola at the Horde.
Well, you're 100% right, Tony. The Braves have a history the last 25 years of losing in the
right.
playoffs. The history with the Mets is falling apart in September. And I think that's why last night,
yes.
Buck Showalter, who's done a really good job running this team, it was about winning last night's game. He really treated it like a playoff game. I mean, the first game and you have your closer now pitching to get the final six out. I don't think, will Diaz pitch? He's not pitching tonight. Will he pitch on Saturday? I have no idea. Mm-hmm.
Mets took some criticism for not making more moves or maybe different moves, bigger splashes at the trade deadline. Last night, the guys they brought, boom, home runs all over the place.
Yeah.
We'll move.
I love Vogelbach. How can you not love Daniel Vogelbach?
I want my Vogelbach. Vogelbach, 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 Vogelbach ribs. We'll move on. Football now. Preseason started last night. We'll get to the arms and legs and wings of that game in a second. But from Browns camp, word is the team's going to play Deshaun Watson in the preseason. They get started next Friday. His suspension is for 6 regular season games. Preseason isn't included in that. The league's appeal won't affect that, so he's eligible and playing. Sarah, how does that come off to you?
As the decision that the Browns are allowed to make, the NFL has to punish, and they have decided to appeal to get a punishment that they think is more appropriate for what the judge found him guilty of, what she said that they proved that he did. And that will be assigned. But in the meantime, the Browns are allowed to use him in the preseason, get him back on the field, something he hasn't done in a very long time, and prepare him for whenever he is allowed to play in a game. We don't know what that is yet. But in the meantime, there is a precedent, there is a system, there is a process. And to argue that they wouldn't be allowed to use him when he is technically, by virtue of the NFL's decision-making, allowed to be out there, I think would be unfair, and we would consider that for anything that they rule on in the NFL. There has to be a process in place that you follow.
Bill Plaschke?
Nah, it feels like taunting to me. It doesn't feel like it's been proven in this league. Quarterbacks can start opening day and not take a snap in preseason. Matthew Stafford did it with the Rams last year, coming to a new team. They could wait. The fact that he's playing a preseason game when you know he's not going to play for at least several months, if not the entire year. It just feels a little too much. It feels like, again, like they're putting it in the face of all the critics.
Brian Guysola.
I don't like it.
Yeah, but I think there's a possibility here where this could end up in the court. If he does get suspended for a full year, he can appeal, and he could be starting opening week. And I think, Bill, I think what you're saying about Matthew Stafford, that's fair. But to Sarah's point, the guy did not play in 17 games last year. At some point, you want to get him out there playing against live competition. We know the way the preseason works. You play a couple of series, and you're out of the game. I think the Browns are doing a smart thing here.
How do you see it, Harry?
Yeah, I agree with Sarah, especially, and I think the reason that this feels worse is because of Judge Robinson and what came out with that decision, and that she essentially said that the NFL had the burden of proof or met the burden of proof that some sexual assault had happened. And I think all of us have expected that at some point Deshaun Watson is going to get a second chance. I think the issue is that there has not been any remorse that has been shown, and I think that's why this feels worse than other situations that would otherwise be like this.
A Sarah Spain last word after the horn.
Yeah, just to what Frank said quickly, that is possible but highly unlikely because the court would have to believe he has a likelihood of getting a lesser suspension than what he already got. And since the judge ruled him to be found guilty and said the precedent was what held her back in punishing longer, they're more likely to say, no, you have to stay out because it's going to be a longer suspension, not a shorter one.
One more story here out of Cardinals camp where, hey, everything's fine. Cliff Kingsbury had Kyler Murray call plays. And here's the reason why.
Yeah, I just want to know that, hey, this ain't easy, you know? Like, every now and then, he starts shaking his head when I'm calling him in there. I'm like, all right, well, go ahead, big dog. I would not want to play for Kyler Murray if I was the quarterback. He was the coach.
Bill, the coach saying he needed to prove to his quarterback it's not easy to coach. How does that come off to you?
Is it just me, or does it seem like there's some beef between these
you
two
think?
Guys?
It's
something's wrong. Something's weird. The fact that the Cardinals took that study clause out of the contract because they said it would be a distraction. Yet here they are creating an entirely new distraction by a head coach who seems to be, again, I use the word taunting, seems to only be almost taunting his quarterback. Something's up there. Those guys don't get along. And that's, of course, good for the Rams.
Frank Isola. Okay.
Oh, God.
Go ahead, Frank.
I know the relationship between the team and the quarterback must be pretty good. They gave him a big, fat contract. Mm-hmm. To me, that's a little tweaking going on right there to a young quarterback who, let's remember, was very critical about a lot of things that happened after that playoff loss to the Rams, and there's a lot of blame to go around. It also starts with the quarterback who had a horrific game, including that late interception, which basically ended the game before halftime.
Ari Lyles, Jr.
Against the Rams.
Yeah, Tony, I know a lot of people are trying to sell this as a playful jab, but I see a lot of passive-aggressive herbs and spices, if that is a playful jab. But the thing that stood out to me the most about this is the fact that Cliff Kingsbury said that when Kyler Murray was calling in the plays, he didn't stop talking once play had started. As somebody who plays a lot of Call of Duty, Kyler Murray should know one of the golden rules is that if you are not in the field of play, you have got to keep quiet. I know he's too good to, he knows better than that. Do better, Kyler. Come on, man.
All right,
man.
So you got Call of Duty jokes and Sarah Spain. How about you?
I don't know if I got jokes for this. I am very worried. Now, I reached out to our own Josh Weinfuss, who covers the Cardinals, to see if they offered up this information.
Research.
Or if he was asked. Because that's a big difference, right? Are you telling us that this happened and you want to get it out there? Or did someone ask? Well, Josh noticed this and asked about Kyler calling plays. And the vibe from Kingsbury is very salty. He did say at that last bit where there was the splice, he said Kyler was calling plays right up to the last second. That's why he wouldn't want to play for him as a coach. But the attitude and the vibe is very clearly sending a message. And we can't forget the beginning of those contract negotiations, there was a report from Mort that said that there's somebody was a source telling him that Kyler was narcissistic and conceited and all these things. We're getting a lot of that language, or at least insinuation, from the contract and the studying, from this relationship. And I don't think it's a coincidence he called him Big Dog either. That seems very intentional.
Flash.
Yeah, that's the thing about this clause being revealed in the public. We're going to be hearing about this all year. We're going to be examining this. Everything they do is going to be seen through the prism of this study clause.
Frank, I saw the last
that's
word.
Too bad.
You know, Bill Parcells famously put an empty gas tank in Lawrence Taylor's locker. This is Lawrence Taylor. He was implying how much you got left in the tank. Because there are some coaches that like to bust chops. I think that's in this
case.
So you
think
the young
player. Bill Parcells is all the time. What you're saying, Frank Isola?
No, I think he's taking on that personality.
It's possible both the coach and quarterback have room to grow and room to be better, right? I don't want to do your job. I want you to do your job better.
That's right. Do your job.
You know what I love about you, Harry Lyles, with the herbs and spices on calamari? Closed captioning always says I say calamari when I'm talking about Kyler Murray. Come on now. All time number one seed appetizer, though. We'll be back with the entree next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Our friend Courtney Cronin argued yesterday that Hall of Fame game is where backup quarterbacks are made. So break down Stidham and Mullins and Luton, everybody. Raiders 27, Jaguars 11. What to read into exhibition game one? Number one pick, Trayvon Walker. Got a roughing the passer penalty on his first play of the game, but he got a sack later. And Josh Jacobs, a starter who did play, Vegas gave him a load, 5 carries. Bill Plaschke, you buying anything from last night?
Trayvon Walker. I mean, I saw all I needed to see on the first two possessions. He got around his man. He rushed off the edge. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. The number one draft pick in the first game of the exhibition season. He was fun to watch. That's all I needed to see. I knew it. Trayvon Walker, he was the game.
Sarah Spain.
You mentioned Josh Jacobs. A lot of people wondering if McDaniels is going to use Belichick's system of having a whole glut of backs that work. You look at fourth-round rookie Zamir White getting a bunch of carries, looking good. What does that mean for Jacobs? Says he's going to have to battle for a spot in there. And why was he playing now in this very first game? Maybe they're trying to figure out exactly where he sits there.
Mm-hmm. Harry Lyles Jr.?
I'm also buying Trayvon Walker. I know that they're playing against a bunch of guys that are going to be backups or perhaps not even on the roster, but if you are the number one overall pick, you are supposed to look like the most dominant player out there on the football field, and he did that. And I think that roughing the passer penalty sure might have dampened it a little bit, but he was still able to get to the quarterback, and the fact that they're going to only be playing him on the edge when he has played multiple positions at Georgia is only going to make him better.
Frank Isola.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious Trayvon Walker has an engine, and he loves getting after the quarterback. That first play of the game said everything. It also tells you how many times we're going to see that penalty during the season. I also learned that Josh McDaniels apparently went to Canton McKinley High School because I'm pretty sure it was mentioned maybe about 20 times during the game, which was a nice story with his parents.
When are you going to get on hosts
for
working a story? Working a theme in the story.
It was a nice story.
We'll move on. A little bit abnormal for a quarterback. Not what you want to hear your coach saying about your quarterback in any way in August. We go to Los Angeles, Bill. Matthew Stafford got an anti-inflammatory injection in his throwing elbow in March. But Tony, he doesn't throw with his elbow. But that was a non-surgical option he and the team opted for. But it's still something the team's talking about. And they're not even confirming it's elbow tendonitis. Only that it's more of a baseball player's discomfort he's feeling. Sarah, what you buying, what you selling?
This is reminding me of two cases. Remember when Dak had an injury and they were consulting the Rangers medical staff on it? Same thing. They said it was a football, you know, had to talk to a baseball person about it. That's always weird to me. Anytime that a coach says the injury's confusing or you haven't seen it before, it's unusual. The other one is Andrew Luck, and I don't want to go down that path because the ultimate result of that, it's a calf, no, it's an ankle, no, it's a retirement, was that that injury got more and more confusing and eventually led to him leaving the game. So I don't like any of the language that I'm hearing. Let's just leave it at that.
Lyles Jr.
Yeah, I'm with Sarah on this. I'm buying that the Rams are happier today than they were yesterday and the day before that Aaron Donald did not go into retirement, because if Matthew Stafford does not make it to the end of the season, you are going to have to rely on that defense because they do not have one of the better backup quarter situations in the NFL. And the fact that we are talking about an abnormal injury here, not just the run-of-the-mill elbow pain that you would have for a quarterback, to me is a cause for concern for a 34-year-old quarterback who's known to throw the football hard.
Frank Isola, are you equally concerned as Sarah and Harry?
Yeah, it's only August. But his age, number one, and last year he played the most games he's ever played, including playoffs, and he threw the most passes of his career. And anytime you hear elbow and shoulder related to a quarterback, it's just like it is with a pitcher. You better be concerned.
And now to Los Angeles, the man who never concerns on this here program, Bill Plaschke.
Very concerned, extremely concerned. You have a quarterback who hasn't been through this before. You have a coach, McVay, who's never coached through this before. They're kind of going on uncharted territories. He threw a ball 50 yards, looked great yesterday, but can he do that on a regular basis? Will he be allowed to do it on a regular basis?
You're concerned as well. He threw a ball 50 yards. Doesn't that assuage your concern in some way, Plaschke?
No, because he has to do that with somebody rushing him, getting hit, getting knocked around. No, it doesn't.
Frank, you said, look at his age. He's 34. The reigning back-to-back MVP is older than that. The guy who is the greatest of all time is playing
about from his arm. In terms of his arm, in terms of his elbow. He's not 22 with an elbow injury. He's 34.
Buy or sell three. Staying in Los Angeles, is there concern over the latest on Clayton Kershaw? Man, when he was lifted, you could hear him say, it's my back. And that is frightening for the Dodgers because it's been 5 times in 8 years. This would be the 6th if they do put him on the IL, and all signs are pointing towards that. All this team does is win games, Bill, but all they do is lose starting pitchers. So where is the concern here?
I told them to get a starting pitcher at the trade deadline. They didn't listen to me, as they usually don't. It's a mistake. They're in trouble. If Kershaw's out, and it seems like he is, and this kind of back thing that comes around, he'll be out for at least a month, I'm guessing, and they slowly get back to the playoffs.
But were they in trouble when they missed them earlier this year? Were they in trouble when Buehler's missed all the time? And May has missed all the time. They're still playing best record in the league.
They need to be back in October. It's all about October. If he's not ready in October, they're in
trouble. Zach Spain?
Yeah, Tony, I get your point that thus far they've been able to survive all that, but that's the issue, is it's not just Kershaw. They have other arms that have been in and out of the lineup. They gave away Mitch White, who was a guy that could take some innings, and then they failed in their pursuit of Pablo Lopez. So to Bill's point, they didn't get that start they were looking for. They actually gave away an arm. So if you've got all those injuries, plus Kershaw could be out, it's serious.
You know, Tony, it's interesting. We just talked about Matthew Stafford. We're talking about Clayton Kershaw. We know they went to the same high school. I'm starting to wonder if they had the same physical therapist during that time in their lives. But jokes aside, I am worried about this because obviously the Dodgers did not do anything to get better pitching-wise at the deadline. And Dave Roberts said that they were going to do this compilation style. If it's like a record label album, I don't know that that's going to work.
Frank Isola, you concerned?
He's been dealing with back issues since 2014. I feel badly for him. He's a classy pitcher, classy guy. But don't listen to Debbie Downer in L.A. They're 12 and a half games up on the Padres, Bill. It's okay. He'll be back
by
October.
That's the series this weekend, Bill.
In L.A., it matters. October matters in L.A.
12 and a half games.
All that matters in L.A. is October. You don't even know October, Frank. When's the last time you've been to October?
Just for the record, you guys are both
Yankees.
You're all concerned about everything now. For Stafford, for Kershaw. Very, very concerned.
Yes.
All coming apart for Bill in L.A.
Slashky, Spain. Front row seats for a Lyles Isola showdown in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mark Davis eating wings in an all-white outfit, maybe the most impressive thing we'll see all football preseason. Harry Lyles Jr., Frank Isola, welcome to Showdown. You're making the case for or against wings in all-white, Harry.
All for it, because the only other option is to not eat the wings. Go for it. Why not?
Frank?
Harry already uses herbs and spices line. He should have been like his dad. Wear the all black. Wear the white on the field. Wear all black in the press box, especially when you're
eating. Are you guys down with my theory, though? When you watch somebody eat wings, you can't turn away. You want to see. Did they eat half the? Most people leave too much meat on the bone when they're done. Frank Isola left no meat on the bone today. 30 seconds of FaceTime.
All right, all right. The Premier League started today, and speaking about soccer in Great Britain, everyone knows USA England the day after Thanksgiving, that's part of the Men's World Cup. Meanwhile, 7 weeks earlier, on October 7th, USA Women versus the reigning Euro champs, England. At Wembley, the game has already been sold out, and somehow England is ranked fourth in the world, yet the teams ahead of them, Sweden and Germany, they beat. That's why only pay attention to television ratings. By the way, our ratings here are great. Don't ever pay attention to rankings. They don't mean anything. USA, October 7th against England. Huge match.
And that's it for us. We're on a huge summer break. We're back August 25th, which means carry the four, a little bit of math, a 479 and a half hour break.